Doctors Today. That only you can answer. It's very important that you give the correct answer, not to me, but to yourself. Here's the question. Does the word fat make you feel uncomfortable because deep in your heart you know that you're too fat? If your answer is yes, I think you'd be wise to stay tuned to this program. The American Association with the National Broadcasting Company and its independent affiliated stations presents Doctors Today, a weekly report on the progress of medical science. This week, a report on the causes and the cure of persons who suffer from obesity. We present Dr. W.W. Bauer speaking for the American Medical Association. Dr. Bauer.
Among the songs that rate very highly in public favor is one that says, "You can have her, I don't want her, she's too fat for me." The writer of this song has made at least 1 million girls unhappy because he brought home to them a truth that they have secretly suspected for a long time. And anybody who says that everybody loves a fat man is speaking without the approval of fat men. Most fat men know that many people don't like them, especially insurance salesmen, who would be the first to say, "You can have him, I don't want him. He's too fat for me." Excess weight, which doctors call obesity, places a burden on the heart and thereby shortens the span of life. Why do many men and women permit themselves to become overweight? Except for those few who have a glandular deficiency, the answer is they eat more than they need for normal bodily functions. But why do they eat more than the body needs? And what is the best way to reduce to a normal, healthful weight? I'm sure that the story of Matt Barrows will give you some of the answers to these questions.
I sympathize with people who are overweight, because for a long time I tipped the scales at 220 pounds, which was for a person of my build. I was able to reduce because I found the reason for my hunger. Most people who eat too much do not realize why they are hungry and why food is taking the place of something that is missing in their lives. I'm sure that a great many of you will discover something about yourself after you've heard my story. I was a fat man who felt very sorry for himself, but who did very little about his condition until something happened that changed my whole outlook on life. It all began one day when a girl in my office said,
"Oh, Mr. Barrows, I just heard about your promotion. Congratulations."
Thank you.
This means that you're going to be my boss, doesn't it?
Yes, I guess it does.
I'm so glad. I was hoping you'd get the job.
You were?
Why, of course. I hope you don't think I'm saying all this just to try and get in your good graces. But if you do, you can fire me.
Oh, no.
The work is interesting, but I don't really need the job. Goodbye, Mr. Barrow.
Oh, goodbye. It wasn't what you'd call love at first sight. I'd been well aware that Joan Talbot was operating our comptometer for a couple of months. I found myself thinking about her even when I went to the movies. But what possible interest could Joan have in big, fat me? I looked myself over in a mirror and felt like Boris Karloff. I stopped eating desserts and bought a package of stuff called Glando, which is supposed to reduce you the simple, easy way. After I'd lost 5 pounds... Joan came up to my desk one day and said something which gave me the courage to ask her for a date.
Mr. Barrows, I'm sorry I didn't get those estimates finished when you wanted them.
Oh, that's all right, Joan. I told Mr. Rogers it was impossible without 2 comptometers.
Well, I stayed until almost midnight, and I came in this morning at 7:30.
Joan, you needn't have done all that. We could have gotten by if you had them ready by tomorrow morning.
Oh, but I knew that Mr. Rogers was counting on us to have them.
You know what I think about you?
No.
I think you're simply swell to go to all this trouble to get them out so fast.
Thank you.
I owe you a dinner at the Stevens for a job like this.
Oh.
And afterwards, tickets to Lonesome Angel.
Well, it sounds very tempting.
Shall we make it tomorrow night?
I think that would be very nice.
That was our first date. Fat men are supposed to be very jolly, but they don't laugh as often as people think. This was a night when I really had a good time. But there were complications. I was living with my mother, my brother Claude, who was going to college with the help of the GI Bill of Rights, my sister-in-law, their 6 year or so old son, Tippy, and when I came home the next day, Tippy said...
Hello, Fatty.
Oh. Oh, hello, Tippy.
Eddie told me something to tell you.
Oh, he did? What did Eddie say?
Fatty, Fatty, 2x4. Can't get through the kitchen door.
How do you and Eddie find so many good jokes?
Oh, I don't know. Eddie thinks them up mostly. Here's one I thought up. Uncle Matt, he's so fat. When he sat, the chair broke.
I don't remember that.
It didn't happen, really. It's just a poem.
Oh, I see.
You aren't mad at me, are you?
Of course not, Tippy.
I really like you a lot.
Yeah, I know you do. Come on over here and sit on my lap.
Huh? Okay.
All right. Yeah. Now, how's the new tricycle?
Oh, it's swell. You know what?
What?
You always buy me things I like better than what Dad buys me. Like that tricycle. Oh, hi, Dad.
Hello, boy.
Hello, Claude.
Tippy, Mom is waiting for you upstairs. Run along now.
Okay.
Matt, can you give me a few minutes?
Why, of course.
You know, Sylvia and I have been thinking of buying a house.
Yes, I know.
It really isn't fair to you and Mother to be crowded by a brother, a wife, and two children.
Two children? Well, Claude, I didn't realize that...
Yes, we've been going to tell you.
Well, for heaven's sake.
We decided that we'd better break the news tonight because we'd found a house that we like and... Well, we need your help to swing the deal.
Well, Claude, I'm glad Tippy's going to have a little brother or sister, as the case may be.
We're hoping for a girl.
I am, too. And I'll help you as much as I'm able to raise the money for that house.
Matt, that's wonderful. We thought, of course, that we could count on you for some help.
Mm-hmm. How much do you think you'd need in cash?
Well, quite a bit. In order to get my GI loan, I'll need about $4,000.
$4,000?
Yes, can you possibly raise that much for us?
Well, Claude, that's a lot of money. But I do want you to have a place of your own. I'll get that loan for you if I possibly can. I wasn't very pleased at the idea of lending my brother so much money because I was hoping that before very long I might have a home of my own. Claude was still in college under the GI Bill of Rights. He had put in 2 years overseas. I was excused from service because I was overweight. Not only did I admire Claude, but I felt a sense of obligation. I was able to raise the money he needed for his home. Meanwhile, I was trying desperately to lose weight. I finally went to see our old family doctor, and when he finished his examination, he said...
Well, Matt, you're fairly healthy for a man who's carrying around so much excess weight.
How many pounds should I lose, Doctor?
I want you to take off 45 pounds.
Yeah, that's about what I thought. Well, I've been trying to take off weight lately, but I haven't been having much luck. I lose a few pounds and then gain it all back again.
Oh, you mean you've been on a diet?
No. No, I've been taking pills that are supposed to be good.
Pills? What's the name of those pills?
They're called Glando tablets.
Oh, yes, I've heard of them. They stimulate the thyroid gland.
They sure affect me in a very funny way.
Tell me just what your reaction was.
Well, they make me feel nervous. Little things that never used to bother me... Now get me all upset.
Mm-hmm.
I fly off the handle, say things to people for no good reason.
Yes, that's not at all unusual.
I also perspire very easily and, well, I have a kind of a jittery feeling.
Matt, Those pills are speeding up all of your bodily processes. I might prescribe something similar to those pills for somebody else, but not for you. Here, sit down and let's talk about this whole problem of reducing weight.
Okay, Doc.
There are all sorts of reasons why people become overweight. As you probably know, in some it's due to a glandular condition.
Yeah, I know. I was wondering if I had one.
Oh, no, I'm satisfied you don't have a glandular deficiency.
Oh, that's one worry off my mind.
In others, it's a psychological problem. Some people eat in order to find satisfaction that they're not getting in a normal, well-adjusted life.
Well, I guess my life is fairly normal, isn't it?
No. No, Matt, unfortunately, it isn't what I'd call an ideal situation. You see, I've known you for a long time, and I know pretty well the problems you've had to face.
Yes, of course.
After your father died, you found yourself with two younger brothers and two younger sisters. As the oldest boy, you felt that you had to pitch in and help pay expenses.
Well, naturally.
Oh, you've done a wonderful job of helping to raise that family of yours. No question about that.
Well, thanks. All I did was what I thought I should.
Matt, it was a real hardship for you to leave your chosen profession and go to work in another job. And I know it's meant struggling along for a good many years with all your interests bound up in your family. That cost you a lot more than you realize.
Why? I knew that somebody had to take Dad's place.
Yes, and so you gave up all your good times and a lot of your ambitions. The result is that you've been finding an emotional outlet by eating more than you should.
Emotional outlet?
Mm-hmm.
Well, never thought of it that way before.
Well, now, Matt, I'm going to ask you to reduce in a way that's quite different from what I'd ask of most of my patients.
Oh?
I must insist that you leave home and find a room where you can live by yourself.
Leave home? Well, my brother Claude is going to move out, and that would leave Mother all alone.
Well, I still say that for you, this will be the better arrangement.
Well, but why?
Because your family's gotten into the habit of making demands on you. Whenever they ask for more than they have a right to expect, you'll fall off your diet in order to get emotional relief.
Oh, I don't think I would.
Well, I feel sure you would. Matt, it's for their good as well as your own. They've got to stop depending on you. As for you, the time has come to lead your own life. Isn't there some nice girl in whom you're interested?
Yes. Yes, there is.
Oh, well, that's fine. Maybe that's the reason you came to see me.
Yes, it is, Doctor.
How does she feel about your being overweight?
Well, she hasn't said directly, but...
You think she'd rather see you at your normal weight?
I know darn well she would.
And you're willing to make some sacrifices for her sake?
I certainly am.
All right, Matt. I'll give you some light exercise, but we're going to depend almost entirely on diet. The diet will give you the vitamins and other essential foods. Then, as soon as you find a room away from home...
Oh, but, Doc, when Mother hears that I'm leaving home, she'll raise the roof.
Matt, she wants you to live the full number of years that you're entitled to, doesn't she?
Of course.
Well, this extra weight shortens your life expectancy. No insurance company will give you a policy. Surely your mother realizes that.
Yes, I suppose so.
Matt, you can only make this decision for yourself. But for your own sake and for that girl's, take my advice. Pull up stakes and move into your own apartment. At least for 6 months.
All right, Doctor. You win. That night, I saw Joan. I took her out in a car that I just bought. We had a wonderful time. And before I left her, she said to me...
You know, Matt, it's funny. But did you notice tonight how we laughed at exactly the same jokes? Every time I laughed, you were laughing, too.
Yeah, I know. It was a wonderful floor show.
Sure was.
Hey, Joan, I made some plans today. I'm going to move into my own apartment.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Well, I'm so glad.
Dr. Hudson has put me on a reducing diet. You probably noticed how careful I was tonight.
Yes, I did.
And he tells me that I have to leave my family and live completely alone.
Well, maybe you should.
He says that's the only way that I can get down to 170 pounds.
Oh, Matt, I wish you would. It'll probably take quite a while, won't it?
Yes, about 5 months.
You know, you haven't met Dad and Mother yet.
No, I certainly want to. Shall we wait a while?
Yes, why don't we? Until I can take this very handsome young man into our home and say, Dad and Mom, I want you to meet Matt Barrows.
He would like to marry your daughter.
Oh, Matt, you know how perfect that would be for me.
Yes, and for me, too. Joan, tomorrow I'm going to start looking for a place where I can lead a bachelor's life. It took nearly a week until I found the ideal place. It was a nice, big room with plenty of space for my books. I rented it and prepared to leave home. That night, I broke the news to the family. I was quite surprised to find that they were very unhappy. I tried to explain to Mother, but she couldn't see it my way at all. She said...
Do you know that Claude is planning to move out with Sylvia?
Yes, I know, Mother.
Oh, Matt, it's swell of you to lend us the money so we can swing the deal.
Well, I'm glad to be able to help Sylvia.
And now you want to move out, too.
Well, Dr. Hudson says it's the only thing I can do if I want to reduce.
In other words, you want to leave me all alone in this big house?
No, I don't.
Oh, perhaps I'd better go upstairs.
No, dear. This concerns you and Claude as much as it does me. Well, if Matt insists on leaving, I suppose we can't stop him.
All right, Mother. What else do you suggest?
I haven't the faintest idea. All I know is that you want to skip out of your responsibilities.
Why, Mother...
All because you're running around with some little hussy who wants to marry you.
Now, wait a minute, Mother. In the first place, she's a very fine girl. And she comes of a very fine family.
Oh, I don't mind if Claude wanting to move into a house of his own. After all, he and Sylvia have a boy. They're expecting another baby.
Yes, I know.
But you...
Well, what about me? Haven't I given them the money for their new house?
You... Any girl who would want a big, fat man like you is just looking for a meal ticket.
She is not. Mother, please be reasonable.
Your father put you through college. The poor man died before you could give him any return on his investment. Your brother went off and served 2 years in the army. And you've done nothing. Absolutely nothing for your family.
I have, too. I supported you and Sylvia while Claude was in the army.
And now you want to leave us for some little snip who wants to marry you.
Oh, Mother... This isn't fair. We haven't made any plans yet. All I want to do is to move into a place of my own where I can reduce.
Well, why can't you reduce at home? I can feed you according to the diet.
Dr. Hudson says that I have to live alone.
Oh, that man, I always knew he was a fool. He lived alone for 10 years. Then he married a woman who's 3 years older than he is. They have children, but what children? Oh, I don't see why you'd look for advice from a man like that. Dear, you know what you've done. You've given me a terrible headache. I'm going upstairs.
Now, Mother...
Oh, go ahead, Matt. Move out on us and go ahead and marry your little girl who's so interested in you. I'm going to bed.
Now, Mother, wait a minute.
Well, Matt, I suppose you think you're doing the right thing.
Yes, I do.
Oh, Matt, I should think that you'd be very much ashamed of yourself.
Why? Well, what have I done?
What have you done? You've sent your mother up to bed in tears.
Sylvia, I've given you and Claude the money you need for your home. Now, why pick on me?
You want to leave your mother living here all alone? Oh, Matt, you know she has a weak heart.
Oh, well, gosh, all I want to do is to move into a place of my own.
Oh, Matt, why must you be so selfish?
Selfish? Well, gee, I thought that...
Claude and I are moving out. Mother can feed you, even though you must go on this silly reducing diet. I'd leave her all alone.
Well...
Oh, Matt, we can't move out and leave Mother here all alone. Oh,
but Dr. Hudson says it's the only way I can reduce to my normal weight.
All right, go ahead. Let your mother try to get by here all alone. If I weren't expecting another baby, I'd certainly stay with her, but as things now stand, how can I?
Well, I guess I better stay with Mother.
Oh, I think you should, Matt.
Yeah, I'll work it out some way. You go ahead, Sylvia. Move into your new place. We'll get along. You're right. We can't leave Mom all alone. I was the only son left in our family. The boys had all married. Claude was the last to leave home. The girls were also married. It seemed that I had been left with the job of taking care of Mother. It didn't seem quite fair, but I decided that I'd better stay at home and look after my mother. But Joan didn't see it this way at all.
Matt, take me home.
Take you home?
Why?
Because you made your choice. I'm through. Please, take me home.
Well, what have I said?
You said enough to convince me that your mother is more important in your life than I am.
But all I want to do is...
Matt, your doctor told you how you could reduce.
I've already lost 10 pounds.
But he told you that you can't go on losing weight while you're living with your family.
Well, no, but that was only because...
It was only because you must decide who comes first. Your family or me.
Oh, now, Joan...
Matt, you think that you can live at home and still reduce, but you can't.
Well, you may be right.
Matt, I won't go on this way. Either you'll do as your doctor says, or I'd rather not go out with you ever again.
All right. That settles it. I'll do as you wish. I'll move into that apartment. You have no idea what it is to try to break with your mother and your sisters and brothers. All because you have been advised to lead a life of your own. I tried it. But I knew from the very beginning that it would have been impossible without Joan. For some strange reason, this beautiful girl, whom I had come to love to the point where I wanted her more than anything else in my life, had made all things possible for me. I left home, moved into an apartment. I lost weight. 10, 20, 30, 40, and finally 45 pounds. I lost it in the right way, without sagging cheeks and a sagging body. And finally, Joan said to me one night...
Matt, how much longer are we going on like this?
Why, aren't we going to be married the first week of June?
That isn't what I mean.
Well, what do you mean?
You've met my family.
Yeah. Yeah, they're such nice people. Your dad and I are going to play golf as soon as the weather is right.
But I've never been invited into your home.
No. No, I'm sorry, Joan.
Does your mother think that I'm a bad influence on you?
Oh, no, it isn't that.
Then what is it?
Well, you know what it is. She objects to the whole idea of my getting married, no matter who the girl is.
Matt, I want to meet her.
Let's wait until we're married.
No, I'd rather not wait. I think it's only fair that we meet and get acquainted.
Well, why go out of your way to make things unpleasant for yourself?
Matt, I don't care if she orders me out of the house. I want to meet her.
Joan, please.
I'm sorry, but I insist.
All right. Have it your own way. But don't blame me for what happens. For 3 months, I had hardly seen my mother. I'd lost 45 pounds, and I was looking and feeling better than ever before. But now I was face to face with a real crisis. My first reaction was to get very hungry. I went out to a restaurant and ate an enormous meal. Then I came back to my little room and tried to sleep. I couldn't sleep. Next morning, I called home and told Mother that I was bringing Joan out of the house that night. I'll never forget that reception. She looked at Joan with a long, cold stare, and finally she said...
How do you do? Hello, Mrs. Barrows. Perhaps you'd like to come in and sit down.
Yes, I would, if I may.
Very well.
Thank you.
Now, Mother...
Matt, why did you feel that it was necessary to do this to us?
Joan wanted to meet you.
Oh, she did. How nice.
Oh, Mrs. Barrows, please. Please, don't...
Now, Joan.
I'm sorry, Matt. I promised myself I wouldn't do this. Oh, now here I am.
Now, that's all right, darling. Remember, I warned you. Come on, let's go.
No, don't go just yet. Joan.
Yes?
Forgive me for being such a nasty old woman. I've hated you ever since I first heard of you, and... But now that we've met, I...
Oh, good Lord. Mother, you aren't going to cry, too, are you?
I certainly am not. Why should I cry?
Oh, Mrs. Barrows, couldn't we? I mean, there's no...
Yes, of course. Oh, she's very sweet, Matt. How in the world did you ever find such a nice girl?
Search me. It just happened.
And you looked so much better since you got rid of all that excess baggage. Well, when are you planning to be married?
In June.
Well, how nice. Joan, you're going to be the first June bride in our family.
Oh, and will you please come to the wedding?
Whatever gave you the idea that I wouldn't come?
When you have two older brothers who served in the Navy and another who served in the army, and a couple of sisters. You wonder what to make of your life, especially when you find yourself nearly 50 pounds overweight. I might have gone on living at home and being the brother who was always able to help for a long time. But I met Joan. I weigh about 170 today, and I now have a son and a daughter who have a very proud grandmother.
We now present Dr. W.W. Bauer, speaking for the American Medical Association. Dr. Bauer.
Before we go any farther, let me assure you that we are not trying to break up families, and we are not advising every overweight individual to leave home and get away from mother's cooking. Far from it. The story we have played for you today is typical of a certain number of overweight people who have been proved to be normal in every other way, except that they tend to overeat as a compensation for psychological frustrations. Every individual has problems. There are three ways to meet problems. One is to shrug the shoulders and take things as they come, perhaps remarking, "So what?" This is not the best solution, but it is an acceptable one. Another attitude is to pitch in and overcome the difficulty. This is the best solution, but it is not always possible. And then it becomes necessary to learn to live with the difficulty. The third solution is to run away from the problem. This is psychologically unacceptable because it is the solution of a weakling. It takes various forms. One is the retreat into illness. Another is compensation for psychological difficulty by indulging excessively in pleasures such as eating. After all, it is difficult to feel frustrated in the presence of a good meal or a tasty snack at bedtime. Family situations such as the one we have played for you are sometimes responsible for psychological difficulties. So also are money troubles, difficulties with the boss, or any personal problem which the individual has not the power to overcome, nor the courage to accept and to become adjusted to it. Let us repeat that not all fat persons belong in the psychological group of overweights. Only those who do belong in that group can be benefited in their efforts to lose weight by being removed from the situation which places them at a psychological disadvantage. The solution for each case must be left to the physician.
Doctors Today is presented by the American Medical Association through the facilities of the National Broadcasting Company and its independent affiliated stations. This program is presented on behalf of the thousands of physicians who are working night and day to protect and preserve the lives of 141 million Americans. The American Medical Association invites you to join us again next week to hear another report on the progress of medicine and surgery in America. Doctors Today, written by William J. Murphy, comes to you through the facilities of the National Broadcasting Company and the affiliated independent stations associated with the NBC network. The orchestra is under the direction of Bernard Berquist, with original music by Emil Soderstrom. The entire production is under the direction of Norman Felton. Heard in today's cast were Sidney Breeze, Ruth Shames, Loretta Poynton, Helen Baymiller, Ernie Andrews, Stuart Sklam, and Donald Gallagher. Your announcer is Henry Cook. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.